Well, good morning. We're certainly glad to see everyone here. It's been a year and a half since I've stood before you to give a sermon. It may be another year and a half before I do it again, based on how things go this morning. We had a very good class this morning, and there were times I was fearful that the class would consume my sermon, but I don't think so. We'll go from there. We're certainly glad to have all of you here. We have visitors with us. We appreciate very much that you've come our way. My intent is never to entertain, but to provoke you to study God's Word and find application from that Word so that we might live better lives in the service to our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of hymns that we sing in our song books that remind us that this world is not our home, that we're just passing through, or that we are indeed wayfaring strangers traveling through this world of woe. And the words of those songs and other songs, I think, remind us that we are spiritual beings that are temporarily traveling in a carnal, fleshly body. That we are spiritual travelers with a spiritual destination. But when you and I, as human people, travel, we always seem to take along with us one common thing: a suitcase. I've entitled the sermon this morning, "How Heavy Is Your Suitcase?" A couple of Wednesdays ago, Brother Allen brought us a Wednesday night talk, and it was about the persecution that all of us as Christians will experience if we try to live a faithful life of service to Christ. And we just finished a lengthy study on the life of Job and all of the persecution that he had in his life. And this morning in Brother Chuck's lesson, he discussed the persecution that the prophet Elijah dealt with. There will be many enemies of the Lord that will indeed be more than happy to assist in that persecution. And they will become a burden to us in our lives. But this morning I would suggest that the biggest enemy most of us will have to contend with, the one that will cause the most pain and suffering, the one that will hurt us the most and create the heaviest burdens in our lives, is ourselves. And we take all of our burdens, our sins, our pain and our suffering brought about by that sin, and we put them into the suitcases of our lives, and we carry it around with us everywhere we go. And before long, the weight is so heavy, we can hardly carry it. It becomes unbearable. Now that weight is an emotional weight. Although it is not measured in pounds or tons, We express the distress of sin as weight. And so it's a spiritual concept, and we try to talk about it using physical terms. As we study from God's Word this morning, I want to share with you three things that create a lot of that weight that burdens us down, that weighs us down, and causes this self-inflicted persecution. The first one is the weight of sin. If you're taking notes, I didn't do the PowerPoint, you know. Just write it down. The weight of sin. The second one is the weight of guilt. And the third one will be the weight of God's judgment, His anger and potential wrath. I thought we would begin with a Bible character that we're all very familiar with. He was the second king of Israel, King David. In 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, we read the account of David's undoings, of David's sin, that would result in years of pain and suffering. And you know the story. We'll get to that. But prior to this, he had experienced a lot of persecution, particularly most recently fleeing from King Saul, who was very, very jealous of him and tried to kill him. And that's if you've ever had anybody to try to kill you, you'll realize that's a lot of persecution. But he had been dealing with that. But that, or any other persecution that he had ever experienced, would seem pale to the persecution that he would now have because of his own very personal actions. The first weight that David put into his suitcase of life was personal sin. It was the sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba. And I'm not going to reread the whole story, but he sees her as she was bathing. He lusts after her. He commits adultery with her. And that was the first sin in this lesson that he puts in his suitcase. And he has to carry it around for a long time. There was the sin of orchestrating the murder of her husband Uriah. Uriah got in the way of all of this. And the third was the sin of trying to cover it all up. So he's got three major sins right there. And all of these then created in David's heart, because he knew it was wrong, it created in his heart a great sense of guilt, which would be the second great weight that he would put into his suitcase and carry it around. I'd like to read for you from 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1 through 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Nathan was the prophet. And he came to him and said, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him as his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Then David's anger burned greatly against the man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion." Nathan then said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. Verse 7, we see the first acknowledgement of his guilt when Nathan the prophet exposes his sin. Then in verse 14, David would carry around with him the guilt of knowing that the child would die because of David's sin with Bathsheba. And of course, then there was the guilt of the hurt that Bathsheba would have, carrying the child to term, knowing full well that it would die after it was born. And all of this because of his adultery with her. Sometimes our sins cause great pain and suffering in the lives of others. Verse 8 through 10, more of David's guilt of not appreciating all of what God had done for him. David knew all that God had done for him, but through this sin, it was a disregard for that. And as he comes to grips with it, he feels guilty of that. The third great weight would be the burden that David would carry with him, make his life seem unbearable because of the expectation of God's disappointment in him, God's anger, his potential wrath, that God would be justified in pouring out on David when we read verses 10 and 12. All three of these, the sin, the guilt, and God's judgment, it was all going to give David great pain and heartache throughout his life. Let's read Psalms 38, 1 through 8. Psalms 38, 1 through 8. A psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger. For your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. For my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. The words of a man who is suffering great persecution because of what he has done. The tragedy of it all. His heaviest burdens to carry around were not the persecutions by the Philistines. He had endured those. not by the persecution of Saul. He had endured that. And not by the persecution of the kings of the nations around him. The tragedy of it all is that David's heaviest burdens in life, the heaviest weight in his life's suitcase, were self-inflicted. So what about you and me? What about us today? Well, we all sin, right? Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the guilt of that sin should weigh heavy on our hearts because it separates us from God our Father. But for some, the sin seems so much heavier than for others. And why is that? Does one sin separate us farther from God than another sin? Do big sins outweigh little sins? If we turn to Galatians 5:16-21, we read a list that we commonly refer to as the works of the flesh. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of rage, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. If you don't find any of those to be yours, he adds, and such like. That's et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that you can come up with. But when we read that list, when I read it, I find no assessment that indicates that one of those sins is bigger than the other. Nor do I find, one doesn't outweigh the other. Nor do we find that the weight of your suitcase is determined by how many sins you carry around. Mark, the 10th chapter, 17-31. You know the story. He's a young ruler, young man. He comes to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, well, what do the scriptures say? He says, well, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do this and this and this and this. And Jesus says, you've answered right. And he says, well, that's great. I don't carry any of that around. I don't have any of that as baggage. I've kept that ever since I was real young. Anything else? And Jesus says, one more thing. There's one more thing. You need to go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And the passage says that he went away heartbroken, grieving, despondent, whatever translation you use. But he felt miserable. And he had done all of this good, hadn't done all this bad. But there was just one thing. So it's not about how big, how small, not how many, how few. If it's not about how big or how little, what makes my suitcase so heavy with sin, guilt, judgment? If it's not about how many, what makes my suitcase so heavy with sin, guilt, or judgment? Why does it seem so heavy sometimes? And the answer, I think, to that, I'd like to use a phrase this morning that we sometimes use in the church. It's not a Bible phrase, but we use it when we're talking about issues of doctrine, and it is the phrase necessary inference. I hope I'm not misapplying this. But if it's not about how big or how small the sin, and if it's not about how many sins, then we can necessarily infer that it's something else. And I would suggest to you this morning that it's about how long you carry those sins around. If it's not about how big or how small or how many, maybe it's about how long we carry the sin. An example, you're familiar, you take a little, we don't have one up here, a little glass of water, 3 ounces, paper cup, and you hold it out. It's not very heavy. I thought about having 3 guys come up and do this, but that'd be entertaining again. So anyway, we're holding out this little cup, 3 ounces, it's not heavy. Not for a while. Hold it 5 minutes. Hold it 10 minutes. Hold it 15 minutes. And it will feel as though you cannot hold it up. And it becomes eventually so heavy that it becomes unbearable. And the same is true with sin. Some of us will ask the Lord to forgive us of those sins, but then we hang on to them. And we reject His forgiving grace, His promise to forgive and to forget. And maybe that's because we have a hard time forgiving and forgetting the sins of others. Some of us are not content just to carry our own sins around. There are some of us who feel that we have to carry the sins of others along with our own sins and our suitcase, and we carry them for a very, very long time. There are things that were done to them by others, things said to them or about them by others, and instead of resolving the problem, like we talked about this morning in class, instead of resolving the problem when it happens, they hang on to the hurt and the pain, they put it in the suitcase, and they carry it for a lifetime. Being persecuted by none other than themselves. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. We didn't use this one this morning. For if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And when we know that, the guilt then becomes extremely, extremely heavy to carry around. Jesus has the solution, though, for getting rid of all of that hurt and pain. He has the answer for emptying out your suitcase of all of that persecution that weighs you down. But for some reason, some folks just don't want Jesus to lighten the load. He says, look, I became a sacrifice for you, for your sins. I let them kill me so that I could take your sins and carry them away for you. I did that for you. So why don't you give me what's in your suitcase and let me take it off? And the person with the heavy suitcase of sins clutches the handle till the knuckles turn white and say, no, those are my sins in there, along with a few others that I've collected along the way, and I'm going to keep them. Those are mine. You can't have them. I don't want your help. Does that make sense? David had a suitcase very heavy with sin and guilt and fear of judgment to come. But he accepted God's way of lightening his life from all of that weighed him down. Psalms 51, 1 through 10. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalms 32, 1 through 5. David says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The Apostle Peter denied that he even knew Jesus just before Jesus was crucified. He says, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. I will fight to the death. You don't have to worry. I'm there for you. And when it came, when the persecution came, he melted. And he said, I don't even know the guy. That's a heavy load. That's a real heavy load. But he was able to ask for forgiveness and preach to over 2,000 people shortly after that. The Apostle Paul had sought out Christians and thrown them in jail and had some of them put to death. And he wrote more of the letters in the New Testament than anybody else. So I ask you, are your sins more numerous than theirs? Are your sins so much bigger than theirs? Aren't you tired of carrying that heavy load around all the time? 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your burdens on God because he cares for you. He loves you. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you've never accepted that invitation of Jesus, your life suitcase has got to be heavy. It's got to be dragging the ground because it's full. And you've got no way to empty it unless you come to Jesus and say, here, take it. It's yours. You bought it I understand you bought it, you paid for it. They're yours. Do with it. Whatever. And if you are a child of Christ, but have not allowed him to lighten your travels, you need to do that today. It's not fair. Not fair to yourself, not fair to Jesus, who gave his life for you, and you've accepted that, but you still won't take the privilege and the blessings of that because you'd rather carry them around in your suitcase. Suitcases are way overrated, folks. Travel light. It's the only way to go because we're not taking them with us if we go to heaven. There's no baggage check there. Whatever your needs are, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.